Just saw an interesting story. Literally, just, there was a group of Israeli Askonim, very wealthy individuals, very, very exceptionally, you know, the high class Tel Aviv, you know, the really powerful, you know, where there's a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of authority and a lot of politics. That group of people, over they came to visit Ban Leib. How they got to Ban Leib, I don't know, there must be a story in its own. But what I saw before was the following story. They went to Ban Leib, and they went there for bracha, apparently. Ban Leib gave them a very, very limited time. And
Mr. Biden coming in soon.
Good evening, good evening.
Hello, Rabbi. Evening, Rabbi.
Good evening, good evening.
You're on mute. We can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Rabbi.
Can you?
Muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, thank you.
I may be no Biden, but I can. You can hear me now. That's good. Okay. So this high class, very, very wealthy, very powerful Israeli at very secular Jews went up to Ban Leib Steinman. And again, how they made their way to Ban Leib, I don't know. But they ended up by Ban Leib Steinman Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Tivoche. And it's very interesting that, that he gave them only very, very limited time. Literally just minutes, and maybe one or two asked him a question or two. He was very abrupt. He was very, very abrupt. And then finally, as they left, Ban Leib was asked if he can give them brachas. So one or two of them, he actually gave them a short bracha. When it came to the last one of them, he actually didn't even give a bracha. He didn't give a bracha. He didn't want to give them a bracha. And it was very unlike Ban Leib, who was very kind and very well, very kind-natured, and very Ban Leib refused to give a bracha. And said again, you know, do you want to maybe give a bracha to Doshiva? They call him Doshiva. Doshiva wants to give a bracha to this Yid. He said, no, I don't want to. And it was very, they were very, very embarrassed. It was embarrassing, you know. There's money and there's power and there's everything there, and Ban Leib doesn't give them a bracha. So when asked, so the grandson for Ban Leib asked, you know, perhaps Ban Leib wants to, please, just say something. And Ban Leib said, no way, I'm not giving a bracha to Michal Shabbos Fais here. He never seen it before. But he said, no, I'm not. He obviously knew this. He said, I'm not giving a bracha to somebody who's Michal Shabbos in public. And this, everything went quiet. And it was extremely embarrassing. But the only one that didn't find it so, the only person who was not uncomfortable and embarrassed about it was the person himself. The secular Jew himself wasn't. He was the one that didn't take it badly at all. And he said, no, he totally understands. He totally understands. Of course, the rabbi is right. And he totally understands. And he walked out. And as he walked out, he said the following. He said, you know, my whole life, I'm being, people run after me. And people chase me. People try to manipulate me and try to get to my money, try to get to my power. They try to what's that word? Pardon?
Suck up.
Yeah, they suck up to me, and they want things from me, and whatever it may be, whatever it may cost, they just want to get to me because yes, I do have money. Yes, I do have power. Yes, I do have influence. And one of those high, and for the first time in my life, for the first time in many years, actually, somebody tells me the truth. As you say in Yiddish, lo imet an aleph. You know, he doesn't want to bless me because I don't keep Shabbos. I've never encountered such genuine emes for many, many years. I haven't actually encountered such truth and such honesty for many. He doesn't just give me a bracha just because, .. No, I am a mechal Shabbos, and therefore he doesn't want to give me a bracha. And he was truly impressed. And he did actually, he walked out giving a very, very, so the story goes, he carries on writing. And he said he gave him actually a very, very nice donation to one of the moesters in Neibach. So I just felt it was quite an eye opener in terms of Midas Emes. Right. Okay. We are learning this week, I'm very excited about this week, because this week we're going to be learning some of the Hilchos Chalamot, which is extremely relevant to us. So tonight we're just going to be finishing about Melacha of a Goy. And then afterwards, I want to start even tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to Tzolkei Rabim, which is public needs, which is also very, very relevant. And then comes perhaps the most relevant of all the Chol HaMoed, which is the Halachas of Kosev, writing in the Chol HaMoed, which also includes not just physical writing, but the more modern way of writing, which is, of course, in a digital format. So that will be covered in Siman Tov Kuf Mem Hey, and all that Be'ez Hashem this week. So let's just get there first. Siman Tov Kuf Mem Gimel in our edition, this is page 28. Tin Melocha Lein Yehudi B'chol HaMoed, I'll do this a little bit faster. Kol Dovah She'Oso La'Asoy Soy, everything which is forbidden to do, Oso Lo Yemalein Yehudi La'Asoy Soy, you're not to ask you go to do. This is unlike what we find in other areas of halacha. Here, whatever I'm not allowed to do, I'm simply also not allowed to ask you go to do. We are familiar with Hilchos Shabbos. Sometimes I'm not allowed to do something, but under some circumstances, I'm allowed to ask you go to do something for me. So here we're learning the principle over here is that whatever I'm not allowed to do, I'm also not allowed to ask you go to do. So the Mishnah Berurah explains to Osu Chachomenu Moed Lazek Shabbos Yom Tov. We said that it's in a stringent way. It is like Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's not exactly like it, but some elements are the same. Now, Siv Beis tells us, Enu, so an example would be as follows. Einu Yehudi Goy Shekibul Merev Yom Tov Limno is Beis Shel Yisrael BeKablonos. Now, Kablonos means a contract. So I'm not paying him for the hour. I'm not paying him for the day's work. I'm paying him for the job done. And a Yid has asked a Goy, has made a contract that he should build a house for the Yid. So again, Einu Yehudi a Goy Shekibul Merev Yom Tov, who is received before Yom Tov, Limno is Beis to build the house Shel Yisrael of Yid BeKablonos. For pay job contractual work, also laniach lasois b'chol amoyet. You're not allowed to also laniach lasois b'chol amoyet. You're not allowed to let him do the work on chol amoyet. Aval pi although shechutz letchum, although it is chutz letchum, although it may be out of the area, so it's not in Edgeware. The house that I'm asking him to build is actually in. There's no yidden living. Out of the Tchum, up on the M1, I don't know. Yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah. So I'm asking him, there's no Yid there, I'm asking him to do the work there. Fine, I'm not allowed to. And although it's out of the Tchum, but still, he's not allowed to build for the Yid. But I'm not allowed to build for the Yid. However, what is permitted is, if it's something which is Tolosh. Now, Tolosh literally means plucked, disconnected. In other words, something which the goy can do in his own house. So say I ask him to build something for me, not a house, but something which he can do in his own premises, in his own property. So in such an instance, the goy can do the work as long as I'm not paying him for the hour, I'm not paying him for the day, but I'm paying him for the job done. So I don't care when he actually does it. He's building for me he's doing a job for me, so if he's doing that in his own premises, and I'm giving it to him before Yom Tov, and he's going to give it back to me after Yom Tov, that would be permitted. So for instance, the example perhaps would be, I give him a car to be, a car needs to be serviced and MOT'd, and, you know, bits and pieces need to be done. And I don't need enough for Chol HaMoed, which is, I suppose, unlikely, but say I've got, a smaller car which I won't need, so if I give it to him before Yom Tov and he does it in his garage and I return it, I get it back after he returns it, I get it back after Yom Tov, that would be permitted because I'm paying him for the job, not for the hours.
So you can only do it off-site.
He
can't do it in your house.
Correct. Now, this is all assuming there is no nodova oved. At times, this is all assuming there's no nodova oved. At times, some restriction may not apply if it's nodova oved, so sometimes work can be done, can be taking place now. Yeah, or sometimes, repair would be an example, yeah. Siv Gimel, Mutter Litten Lein Yehudi Melocha BeKablonos, Oy Beschir Yoim. I can give to the goy melacha bekablonas. I can give him bekablonas. I can give him a job to be done. I can even give him a job which is going to be paid, not for contract, but for hours or for days' work. That he will, as long as he's going to be doing the job after Yom Tov, ubelvat, provided shelo yimdoit v'yishkol, he should measure and weigh v'yimne and count and measure and do all the preparatory work. Kedech shoyis bechol, as he would do on a weekday. So I'm allowed to have the deal. Kind of, the arrangement I can have with him, as long as he doesn't start doing some work on Chol HaMoed. Even though, if I pick up the phone call and I discuss it with him, even if that means he will do some work on his computer, in his office, that's shogi, that's permitted. Because it's permitted because the work that he's actually going to be doing in my property is actually going to be taking place after Yom Tov. So, again, the point being over here that it's off-site. Everything which he wants to do in my premises, in my house, in my property, that's going to be a problem. But if I just gave him a phone call on Chol HaMoed and I agreed, listen, you're going to build my extension, and he's got the plans and he's going to be working with those plans in his own office, that's okay, because it's of property, off-site. An interesting question that the Mefarshim asked, the Poskim speak a lot about dry cleaners. If I've given dry cleaners before Yom Tov, and they're going to be inevitably going to be working on those clothing on Chol HaMoed, is that a problem or not? Tolos should be fine. Yeah, I also think so. Mefarshim are quite discussing this quite extensively, but it looks like it should be quite poshut. I was wondering, what if somebody has got some work done in his house, and you have to pay for the days they're not coming in? So it's double of it. Say you're making an extension, you're making a loft, you're making a conversion. I don't know what you've been making. And you plan that it should be finished before Yom Tov. It got delayed, as it always tends to, it's a bit delayed. And now, it's Chol HaMoed, and it's a new property, and it's a new house. Now, if you tell them, you're not coming in the whole next week, it's going to be double of it, because, it's going to cost you a lot of money if it's an extra week of... but they can't do any work. Is that considered over Oved or not? What do you think?
Is it in your house
return? I don't think there is such an... I don't think there is such... In the post-game, it appears there is no such concept in your house but sinner. If they show up with the vans and the lorries, even if you tell them park on, the other... once they come with their tools... Yeah, I'm not sure. Any thoughts on that? If there's a dover ovet, the fact you don't let them work, that could be considered dover ovet. Pashtas it's also, but I'm not sure. Maybe it is. Right, Simon Tov Kuf Mem Dalet. His din Tzorkei Rabin B'chol HaMoed. Now this is a heter in its own, which is considered Tzorkei Rabin, public needs. Very, very interesting. And this is, it's relevant to us, but where it's even more relevant is in Eretz Yisrael. Now, we're going to see soon that it applies very, very much. Many of the questions in Eretz Yisrael. Any public needs are permitted to be done and achieved on Chol HaMoed. Kugoyin, what are the examples? Lesaken, to repair hadrochim, to fix the roads. Have you noticed in what are they called again? The holes in the... What? The potholes, yeah, so the potholes, it would be a brilliant example for that. The winter, for some reason, the roads can't cope. I don't know why it is like that. Whenever it's raining, I don't know why. It's just potholes everywhere. L'hosimena mechsholos, to take away, to remove the obstructions. So if there's anything on the roads, in the pavements, to remove all that. Which is a lot of tikh, it's a lot of work. Really, in principle, should be also, but it is permitted here because it's Sarki Rabim. How is the public meant to walk past this if there start obstructions on the road? Similarly, with Itzayin HaKvorois, to pinpoint and to direct the public where the Kvorois, where the burial places are. Kedei in order she is Ormei Makonim, the Konim should know, oh no, these are burials of here, I can't go anywhere near that. So that's also okay. To be mitzayin to notify and to have a written board and a stop sign. All these kind of things is permitted to avoid kenim going anywhere near there. But a second mikvah is similarly also to fix the mikvahs, which is also public needs. V'davket, now that comes a very interesting statement by the Rambam. You would have thought that it applies elsewhere too. Says the Rambam, V'davket tzorki rabim, this is only, however, permitted for the tzorki rabim, for the public needs, sheheim tzrichim leguf adam, which are needed for the guf, pardon, for the physical needs of a person. However, I will show tzorki rabim, but other public needs, such as, kigoin, benyan beis hakneses, such as building of the shul, also lasis b'moyet, this would be also. So, the shul is not considered a tzorki rabim, which is permitted. Unlike the mikvah, the koyanim, the obstructions, and the roads. The Rambam's words are, it's not considered tzrichim leguf ha'odom, a physical need. Why do you need a shul?
Why does the need have to be for physical? Why is that together?
Why is that together? It's a very good question. Why is that together? I'm not sure. You see, that if it's physical, that has a certain urgency in it. If it's, however, if it's... Yeah. It could be we're going to get it. Let's just wait another few examples to polish that svar a little bit. Similarly, the top line of page 30, similarly, leshar tzor ke mitzvah, other mitzvah purposes and needs, also lasis meleches umen, b'moyet, you're not allowed to do a meleches umen on chalamoyet. Very interesting. So it's really, really fascinating halach over here. So tzor ke rabim is distinct. We're distinguishing between the roads, you're allowed to repair, the mikveh you're allowed to fix, the burial places you're allowed to be metzayin. However, the shul you're not allowed to build. Who would have guessed the other way around, right? I would have guessed the shul. Ah, the shul, you're allowed to build the shul. No. So let's see what the Mishnah says over here. Mishnah Wentzef Kotna Aleph goes even further and says as follows: Da to call tzorki rabim muta. Any public requirements is permitted to be done on chalamoid. Afilu even kivnu melachta b'moid. We have so many times seen you're not allowed to plan specifically that his actions should be performed on chalamoid. You're not allowed to plan for chalamoid. Here, however, even if you're even allowed to plan that the fixing of the roads and the repairs should be done on chalamoid. Now the Mishnah have gotten base got even further than that. Kugoin, even if it's a Maise Uman, so he requires a certain expertise to fix the road. Does he need expertise? They don't look like particularly. But even needs a certain expertise to fix the public needs. Nevertheless, it's Maise Uman is also permitted. Now, this leads to a very interesting discussion, which is the discussion of so obviously here we live in Golos and most councils are run by Goyim. And therefore, the question in England doesn't really apply as much as in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, however, without going into the discussion, if the government is run according to halacha, it's not run according to halacha, how it should be, how it shouldn't be, all those political questions being kept aside, What would be if the municipality would be governed by Torah law? Let's just think about that. Would the council, would the Iriya be allowed to go Aleph? Let's give a few examples. So to fix the roads, that would be fine. That's Mefush Shulchan Aruch. To repair the broken areas, that's fine because that's public needs. How about collecting the rubbish? Collecting the... Yeah. Would that be okay? Yeah, why is that? Tzoki Guf. So the Nissen Kalit was asked that question because in Bnei Brak it happens to be that the mayor of Bnei Brak is a very, very... mostly has been a very aware and very halachika orientated. And yes, so the question was asked, should we run the rubbish collections? Should they be collected on Chalamet? And the answer is absolutely unconditionally yes. That would be a very perfect example. In fact, the prototype example. So, okay, Rabbi, imagine, I don't know if you've experienced, yeah, if they strike every now and then, no? It's terrible. It's really terrible. When they strike, the streets stink. It's really bad. It's really, really bad. And it happens every now and then. So the answer is yes, it's a tzoki rabim, and it's definitely permitted to do. Perhaps a more controversial question is the bus. The bus. Majority of people don't own cars. And therefore, the question, majority of cases, people use the buses, public transport. Can the public transport be running normally on Chol HaMoed? This is drachim. You see, that's the way people go to their places. And certainly, she was saying that according to halacha, it is perfectly permitted to run the buses and the public transport normally on Chol HaMoed. It's better than if tikkun drachim is permitted, kal v'chomer the drachim themselves. So you say the train also can operate normally. Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim, from the airport right into the city nowadays, it's brilliant, it's amazing. Just a year ago I wasn't there, it's amazing. It wasn't there when we were there, but nowadays this amazing train that goes right from the airport right into Yerushalayim. You've used it? It's brilliant, it's really amazing. So it's very cheap, and it's very fast, and it's very efficient, it's really good. So you're saying that surely everybody agrees with that? Trains can be run can run normally on Chol HaMoed. Is that what everybody holds? The master they do. Yeah, that doesn't mean that. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
And you can operate
those. I'm asking.
Tricky. Because it's the needs of the public.
What do you say? There should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mr. Kelly says yes. It's public needs. They can run normally. As to whether a person, see, the driver himself and the people who operate it, as to whether they have got, why they are allowed to, perhaps you could argue they have got a slight, they should rather not work on those days, and they should rather work on non-Chol HaMoed days, but that's a personal question already. But in terms of the company or the organization, that's a public need. They can run normally. As to whether everybody within that company has to work, that's individual shayla. Should they work on Chol HaMoed? Should they work on, or rather on different days? That's a personal question. But the running, the operational aspect, yes, he can. Pardon? Then you're stuck. Then you're stuck, yeah.
The sharpest people are petrol electric generators in many areas.
Yes, so therefore you're saying that what?
People don't want to rely on
public, yeah, that's the electricity, the chazanesh is a bit of a different aspect. But what are you saying, that you don't want to rely on the
Yidden working for you?
Yeah, you don't
working.
Yeah. Yeah, but over there that's because yes, the root of that is the chazanesh was worried that people were Michal Shabbos in order to generate the energy. Here we're saying that it's not an issa. So people didn't want to. The people who are using their own fuel is because you don't want to rely on chil Shabbos. Here we are saying that it's not chil moed because they're allowed. It's okay, Rabbi. So intrinsically they're allowed to operate normally. The question is about the taxi drivers, which I don't see any comparison at all. The taxi drivers, are they also allowed to run and to drive normally because of Tzolkei Rabim. Remember, in Eretz, people take cabs and taxis much more than here, I'd argue. And it's much more of a public need, much more of a public. People jump. People don't have cars, so they jump into the taxi much quicker. Are they allowed to run normally because Tzolkei Rabim? You saying they can? It's public need. So I want to argue that there's a big distinction between the train and the bus on the one hand, to the taxis on the other hand. What do you say? I think it's very different. It's not a public need. That's an individual already. You're not serving the public by driving your taxi. Yeah, yeah.
You'd argue with that.
You'd argue with that? What would you say?
You can get a bus to your shechina, your area, but you can't get to your house.
But he's serving you as a person, as an individual. The train and the bus is serving a public. A taxi is serving an individual.
I've seen that sort of how many people wait for a bus. John Paul says, I'm about to go every time. You're very happy there's a lot of
taxis around. See, it decreases the here. So you're saying that there is a public need in a taxi. I really understand that there's a distinction between a taxi and a. It seems to be machlokes aposkim on standard of
here. Individuals still public.
Pardon?
Individuals still public.
It makes a public. Many individuals together create a public. It seems that it's a machlokes achronim. It's a machlokes achronim, it seems. Okay, Rabbi, so we covered this evening, Kasiat Yishmaya. We spoke about the rule and the principle that whatever is also to do for the Yid is also to ask a goy to do. We spoke about contractual work. If it's in your property, it's also. If it's in his house, it's all right. Similarly, if there is, you're allowed to make a contract with a goy as long as he's going to start doing the work within your property after Yom Tov. If he starts doing some work in his house, that would be fine as well, as long as it's, you know, that's okay. We spoke about the rule of Tzolkei Rabim, which is permitted on Chol HaMoed. The example is given is repair of the roads and mikvahs, etc. The Shula, however, on the other hand, is also, we'll discuss that maybe tomorrow a little bit more. These were the concepts we discussed this evening, and more on that tomorrow. Emet Hashem, I wish you a very good evening.